Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the greats check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short. Even 51 greats. Even 51 greats.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Well, might we possibly have some trades to talk about today? It would seem that it is at least possible that the Patriots could be making a move here in the midseason after week six. Quite frankly, it's a little bit of uncharted territory for all of us around here because we're not used to having that kind of thing happen around here. But we'll have to just wait and see. The trade deadline does come up in approximately, well, a little under 2 hours from now at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Welcome inside the Playbook. John Rook with you here on a Tuesday. Normally on Tuesdays, Brian Lowe from Patriot Today checks in. We'll see about his availability because I know he's putting together a show at the last minute. Christopher Price, who is a contributor to this program covers the Patriots for WEEI.com, a very good beat writer. He's going to join us in about 10-15 minutes to give us the latest of what he knows in terms of the possible movements by the Patriots. Suffice to say that the official moves thus far today by the team are, in case you're just tuning in, that the Patriots have released wide receiver Joey Galloway and tight end Michael Matthews. Those are the official moves today. The moves that were released by the team anyway. Galloway, of course, signed by the Patriots as a free agent back last March. 14 NFL seasons with Seattle, Dallas, and Tampa. He only played in 3 games with 2 starts for the Patriots. 7 catches, 67 yards. I guess, what was it? 19 thrown his way. Matthews was picked up by the Giants in a trade on September the 5th. And he was originally signed by the Giants as a free agent out of Georgia Tech in 07. He played in 3 games as a reserve tight end and on special teams. Now, those are the official moves made by the team today. Somewhat unofficially, of course, nothing has been announced yet, but Tully Bantakane, outside linebacker, who came back to the team after spending a couple of years in San Francisco following a free agent deal, originally was released early today, although it was never announced by the team. In fact, the ironic thing about it was that his releasing actually came while he was on the air with Sirius NFL Radio earlier today, and kind of read that story with some interest, and then I believe Pro Football Talk picked up on the story as well. And it certainly, that was the first move that actually was made public today. The Galloway and Matthews releases came much later. And a lot of the early hubbub today on this trading deadline day had to do with the fact that the Patriots apparently were releasing Tully Bantakane. And you have to think, wow, in light of, well, Adalis Thomas being a scratch, relatively healthy scratch this last week, Junior Seau coming in, you know, why would you release a guy who has 3 sacks? Who, by all rights and reasons, has had a pretty good year. Has certainly gotten out of him what you thought you'd get out of him defensively. Why would you do this? Well, there are many speculative theories that are bumping around right now and amongst the web. I'm sure you probably have heard your own. One that certainly seems to make sense, and if it is the truth, you'd have to feel like it was a magnanimous gesture on the part of the Patriots. And I believe Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk picked up on this as well earlier. But the Patriots had wanted to sign him to an extension, but they couldn't rework his deal, his previous deal, his current deal, because it was signed in February, and a year has to pass before adjusting a signed contract. And I've actually heard that before. I'm not sure if that's the case in this particular instance, but I've heard that before. So letting him go and then readjusting him and bringing him back on would be a way to sort of reward him, if you will, which would certainly explain why he was less than forthcoming when the release actually happened, when he was on the air with NFL Sirius Radio earlier today. So at any rate, Tully Bantakane was not on the roster for less than a day. officially less than a day, and now he's apparently back on. ESPN's Adam Schefter is reporting that Vanta Kane is back in the fold. So a pretty wild, shall we say, 24 hours. Let's see if we can get some more light shed on this particular subject and some of the others with our friend Chris Price from WEEI.com. Hey, Chris, how's it going today?
Not bad, John. How you doing?
Great, great. I was just remarking the story about Tully Vanta Kane, and when we first woke up this morning and found out that there was a possibility that he indeed was going to be let go, I got to tell you, it certainly was a head-scratcher for me, as for a lot of Patriots fans, if they actually woke up to that news today. But if indeed he is re-signed, and again, there hasn't been anything official come from the team yet, if they've re-signed him to a reworked deal, that certainly now makes a little bit more sense.
It does. I agree with you. It's been a very, I have to imagine, it's been a very bizarre, surreal 12 to 24 hours for Tully Vanta Kane. I heard you remark before I came on with you that he was informed. He was actually informed on the air.
Yeah, he was. He was on the air with Pat Kerwin this morning when it happened.
It's got to be a very bizarre situation, but he did, again, and I heard that interview, he was told that, again, you know what, this was done with the idea that we're bringing you back. And I understand, it's my understanding, at least at this point, that they're doing the same thing right now with Eric Alexander. They're cutting him, reworking his deal, and then bringing him back. Whether or not this is a precursor to some sort of threat or some sort of, you know, deadline deal, I'm not sure. But it's a way for the Patriots to free up a little bit more cash under the cap to kind of create two more deals that are a little bit more cap friendly than what they have right now.
All right, so this certainly begs the next question. Now, with these two deals, and Eric Alexander's a bit of new news for us, so we thank you for that information. But that combined with Galloway and Matthews being released, is there a bigger deal you think that still could be on the horizon within the next 2 hours?
You know, right now I don't see anything out there. I think the likeliest trade, if the Patriots are going to make a deal, they have to get a guy who knows this system, who has a little bit of a background in the Patriots way, in the Patriots approach, in the Patriots playbook. And I think the only guy out there who might fit that kind of mold is Deion Branch. Now, I've heard from a couple of different folks that Seattle is putting him out there as part of a deadline deal. They are kind of dangling him out there. He's not getting much run with the Seahawks these days. He's really the Seahawks' number three wide receiver. We all know that the Patriots need a number three wide receiver, so that would seem to be the best fit at this point. But right now, with 2 hours to go, less than 2 hours now to go before the trade deadline, I have not heard anything about any deal that would bring Deion Branch back to the Patriots.
What do you know? Happen to have any idea what his current health status is? I mean, is he relatively healthy? Does he have lingering things? Why has he fallen into disfavor with Seattle?
I know he's been bothered over the last couple of years with knee problems. There have been a few questions about his overall health, but he just hasn't been able to. You know, we saw it here in New England. There are guys who go to places and you think on paper that they would be a good fit, like Joey Galloway. It just doesn't seem to work out for whatever reason. I think that's the case in Seattle with Deion Branch, that it just didn't, you know, it just hasn't worked out for him out there.
Right. Now, the other thing, I guess, that certainly I think is going to have to undergo a little bit of scrutiny here is this cutting and then re-signing and reworking deals. Is this in any way, to your estimation and to your knowledge of the current way that they structure contracts, are they circumventing any kind of rules by doing this here, or is this something that teams generally have available to them in order to be able to make themselves a little bit more cap-friendly, shall we say?
This is something that teams do a lot of the time. If you check the official NFL waiver or the official NFL transaction wire, you'll see guys and, you know, that'll kind of jump out at you and say, whoa, he was cut. Look, it's a handshake agreement that players have with teams and with agents that, look, we're going to cut you, but we're going to rework your deal. If you agree to rework your deal, we'll cut you. We will rework what your contract is right now, and then we'll bring you back at a reduced rate, maybe back in the deal. But this is not unlike anything that any other team does out there.
Yeah, I was kind of under the impression that this is something that, you know, and I heard a conversation, actually it was on WEEI earlier today, about how, you know, there might be some league officials or other GMs around the league looking at what the Patriots are doing and say that's kind of cheesy. But at the same time, though, if this is a rule, because I've heard this and I've seen this take place before, I'm not certain why other teams don't take advantage of it.
It's just one of those things that the Patriots end up doing. And again, it's not, I guess if you really kind of hold their feet to the fire, it's not completely, and you know, 100% above board. But at the same time, if the, my take is, if the player's okay with it, if the agent's okay with it, the team's okay with it, you know, let's do it. You know, move forward. I don't think there's a problem.
Well, all you're doing basically is promising them something on the back end for a little bit more space right now, and give them, in effect, what they think would be a little bit more security.
Exactly. I think it's a win-win situation all around. And again, I don't know if it's 100% above board, but at the same time, like I said, as long as the player agrees to it, as long as the agent agrees to it, as long as the team agrees to it, I don't see a problem there.
Right. Chris Price with us from WEEI.com, and I know that you reported a short while ago that Joey Galloway is on his way to Kansas City for a workout with the Chiefs.
Yeah, that's probably the least surprising news of the day, given the Kansas City to New England connection that we've heard an awful lot about over the last year or so with Scott Fioli out there in Kansas City, former Patriots executive. For my money, the Galloway comparison, the best comparison I can make to Joey Galloway, we touched on this a little bit, where guys just come into a situation that don't work out. I always go back to John Smoltz with the Red Sox.
Yeah.
You know, on paper, it seemed to be a good fit. This is a guy who is a classy veteran, been around the league. Again, it looks like it would be a good fit, but for whatever reason, it just never happened to work out here. He was a healthy scratch here the last three games. Over the last couple of weeks, you could see things get to a point where, you know what, it just wasn't going to work. It's my opinion that they tried to make a deal with some other teams out there. The team that I kept hearing come up was Baltimore, tried to swing some sort of deal with the Ravens, who still need, I think, a number three wide receiver.
Right.
But that didn't work out. And so they ended up today, they just said, you know what, let's cut ties and go forward from here. Michael Matthews is not that much of a surprise. He was the third tight end, primarily a blocker.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the grand scheme of things, I don't think that's all that big a move. But the Galloway thing is not a surprise. But again, it's a little bit of a shame because, again, he's a classy veteran. He's a guy who's been around the league for a while, enjoyed a lot of success. But for whatever reason, it just didn't work out here in New England.
It was pretty clear that he and Tom Brady were never really on the quote-unquote same page. And, for whatever reason, you would think that a guy who'd been in the league for 14 years wouldn't have that much trouble getting on the page as your star quarterback.
Yeah, and again, it wasn't just – I could understand it if the Patriots traded for him or he was acquired, let's say in July or right before the start of the season, that they would have those sorts of troubles. But he was here all spring. He was here in the OTAs. He was here in the spring practices, here through training camp. And it just never took with him for whatever reason. Look, and again, you know, this is not all Galloway's fault. Brady, you know, at least before Sunday, was not where he needed to be mechanically. He was still struggling to get reacclimated to the game. And a lot of those throws, some of those throws that he made for Galloway were his fault. They were overthrows. They were badly thrown balls.
Sure.
But at the same time, you know, it just, again, it just wasn't happening. You know, you have to be an exceptionally smart and willing to work within the system if you're a wide receiver here in New England. They run things, I've talked to some wide receivers who play here, they run things in this offense that are just so far above and so far beyond what other offenses do, what other passing attacks do. And if you're not on the same page all the time, it's not just, you know, it's just not going to happen. And it didn't happen for me here in New England.
Here's a tweet from Ravens Insider just passed in here that says that during his brief unemployment before rejoining the Patriots today, veteran outside linebacker Tully Bantakane was in demand. Bantakane apparently fielded interest from the Browns, the Bills, the Bucks, and the Titans, according to a league source. But ultimately, he decided to stick with the Patriots. Not a stretch to expect he'll eventually have the opportunity to sign a more lucrative long-term contract with the Patriots or even another NFL franchise. But because he's played well this year, his profile has risen around the league.
I agree completely. He's played very well this year. And again, that's why that news, when that first came out last night, I think the Dallas Morning News had it first. It was a real surprise because he was, for my money, the best outside linebacker. He was kind of playing an outside linebacker slash defensive and hybrid, but he was the one who's been able to put the most pressure on the quarterback. He and he alone he's done a really good job so far this season bringing pressure on the quarterback. For my money, he's done a better job than any outside linebacker they've had on that team, and that includes Dallas Thomas, that includes Derek Burgess. He's tied for the team lead with 3 sacks. He's been able to get after the quarterback on a consistent basis, so that's why that was such a surprise to me. I think the Patriots know what they have in Bantakane. He's a really good asset because he's been in this system now. This is his second time around. they kind of narrowed his focus a little bit. I think they were asking him to do some other things his first time here. Now they're just saying, you know what, you're going to be a specific pass rusher. We know what you're going to do, and I think so far he's done it very well this year.
Yeah, we'll give credit where credit's due. That's my boy Todd Archer for the Dallas Morning News.
He's a good reporter.
Yeah, very good. All right, so Chris Price from WEEI.com with us. Funny line I got to share with you. I saw this on a fan board someplace after the whole Joey Galloway thing started to unfold. It said, is there any doubt Kansas City, where New England players go to die? And so sure enough, you report that Galloway's on his way to Kansas City. And I'm just like, that made me laugh. That actually made me laugh. So
I think he's going to be, again, it's a question of getting into the system and kind of learning the playbook a little bit. And I think he's going to be a very good fit in Kansas City. I just, again, you know, it's a shame it just didn't happen here for him because, again, you know, you look at guys, you look at impact wide receivers over the last 10 or 15 years, and you got to put Galloway right up there.
All right. Now, the other thing I would have to add here, Chris, is that, you know, with these movements, with Galloway being gone and Matthews now being gone, Bantakane is back in, Patriots do have a couple of potential roster spots to fill. So do we potentially see maybe one or two of the receivers from either the PUP list or the practice squad get bumped up?
I think the two guys that are eligible to start practicing today our offensive lineman, Mark Lavoir, who was on the PUP list, and rookie wide receiver Brandon Tate, who was also on the NFI list because of a knee injury he suffered last year as a Khalif. And I think those are the two guys, those are the two most likely candidates to be added to the active roster. I think Lavoir gives you some good depth along the offensive line, and I think Tate is a really exciting player. He's been with his team. He's been in workouts. He obviously hasn't been, you know, he hasn't been working out with the team, but he's been in sessions. He's been in meetings. And from all accounts, he is just about ready to go. So it'll be interesting to see what they do end up doing. But I think those are the two guys who are the likeliest guys to end up taking those spots on the active roster.
All right. Interesting. No idea about a guy like Terrence Nunn yet, who was a fan favorite, I guess, for his play in the preseason?
I think Nunn is a year away. I think Nunn is essentially, they're looking at him this year as taking a redshirt year. He is a youngster. He is a younger player. And that's not to say that Tate isn't a younger player, but at the same time, I think they look at Nunn as a long-term project. He can do a few things. If you get him in here and you maybe put him on the return team a little bit, you use him in other areas. You teach him how to be an NFL player without putting the demand of a 16-game regular season schedule on his shoulders. I think down the road, he will be, I don't want to say an impact player on this team, but I think he'll make a contribution. I just think they're looking at him more for 2010 as opposed to 2009.
Final one for you here, Chris, and thanks for taking the time. I know you're busy today, but is it just me or does it seem like more teams are looking for more help right now? And I say this only because, especially within the AFC East, I mean, the Jets lost Chris Jenkins this weekend, and so obviously they got to be looking for some tackle help. You know, there's been rumors that T.O. is on the block, that Buffalo would love to unload his contract. I mean, with all things, you know, going on out there, it seems like there's a lot of bluster, but there may not be a whole lot of actual action come the trade deadline. What's your impression?
I agree with you. This is not like baseball in the sense where, you know, July 31st, everyone is going crazy, salivating at the possibility of different deals. And look, I think it makes for great talk, and I think it, you know, it sells a lot of newspapers and gets people talking. But at the same time, I think in the end, more often than not, we don't see any sort of trade deadline deals in the National Football League. I don't think that there are going to be any players of real impact, of any real substance, who are going to end up changing teams this afternoon. It's just the way of the world in the National Football League. We've seen it here in New England. They haven't made an in-season deal since 2006, and even then that was back in September. It's just unlike the rest of the other sports because, look, you just need so much time to get up to speed in the other guy's system. The long term, it really doesn't make sense. That's why I see more of those impact deals coming out of camp, you know, kind of once teams break camp, you know, at the start of free agency, those kind of things. You just don't see a lot of those trade deadline deals in the National Football League.
You know, I think that's a very important thing for fans to remember because everybody asks usually, well, why can't you do this? As long as the, you know, people who are somewhat savvy and knowing what contracts are and cap numbers are and things like that, you know, you can trade, you know, number for number and it works out. But the problem is, and you just hit on a very important point that a lot of people tend to overlook here. that because things are so intricate now in the National Football League, in order for a player to really be able to contribute, he has to have working knowledge of what the playbook is all about. And unless your playbooks and calls and signs and things like that are similar, you're going to be behind the eight ball in terms of production. Look at what happened to Joey Galloway. Now, I'm not saying that that was the only thing that went into his ineffectiveness in New England, but it certainly could have been a factor leading toward that. And so now you're asking someone to come in cold who has no knowledge of what your playbook really is all about and to contribute right away. It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
I agree. And this is let's bottom line it here. If you make a deal today for someone, they're probably not going to be able to get up to speed in anything less than a week, maybe two. You know, they're guys who, again, we talked about it at the beginning of the call here, they're guys who've been in the system. You know, if a guy comes back to a team, he's able to pick up the system rather quickly. He knows some of the things. He knows some of the earmarks, the defense, you know, knows some things, knows what to do, knows the playbook on offense, that kind of thing. The reacclimation process is a little bit faster. But if you have a guy going into a new team, into a new situation, completely cold, more often than not, it's going to take at least a couple weeks just to get the basics down. Again, this is not baseball. This is not basketball. It's not high. You know, this is a completely different system. It's a completely different sport. It's a whole different situation.
All right, good stuff. Chris, thanks so much for sharing. We really appreciate it. And, I'm sure that you'll be working hard between now and 4 and probably a little bit beyond that today.
Sounds good. Take care, John. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Chris Price from WEEI.com. And if you want to follow along with what he's able to find out, his blog, certainly go ahead and do that. And I'm sure that we'll check back in with him if there's anything breaking between now and, say, 4 p.m. Eastern time today, which is approximately the next hour and a half as the trade deadline looms here. Very quickly, I will recap for you again. The Patriots have released today, or actually late yesterday and then into today, Telly Bantakane, Joey Galloway, Michael Matthews, and Eric Alexander. The release of those players opened up about $3 million in salary cap space. But the Patriots did re-sign Bantakane and Alexander. So with Galloway gone, who's a vested veteran, he's going to get paid his money no matter what. So he gets his million plus or whatever it is being a vested veteran, regardless of whether he signs with Kansas City or not. But they did release him before the deadline today, so that allows him to choose his team to go to rather than his being placed on waivers, and then the team automatically with the worst record would have a shot at him, which right now would be probably Kansas City anyway. It would be the 0-6 teams, but Kansas City would still have a shot at him. And I think the Patriots did that for a couple of reasons. Number one, out of respect for Joey Galloway, because they just kind of like decided, you know what, this isn't working out, Joey. You know, we thank you for coming here and taking the veteran minimum to come in. And we're going to let you go before the deadline, so that way you don't have to go through waivers, and that you're guaranteed a spot. If you want to continue your career, you're guaranteed a spot on a really crappy team. Here, at the very least, he can take his choice of whatever offers may be out there by letting him go before a deadline today. So that's why the Patriots did what they did with Joey Galloway before the trading deadline today. And they probably did that also for, the locker room. I mean, think about it. We all know, and the players in the locker room know, that this is a business. First and foremost, all loyalties aside, it's a business. Players need to get theirs. The team needs to do what's in the best interest of the team and the organization. And sometimes those two things do not come together. So what do you do? What can you do to try to make your employees, in this particular instance, the players, a little bit more at ease, a little bit more comfortable, and shall we say, happy to be here? You have to keep your employees happy. If you run a business, you know that. If you don't, your good employees are going to leave you. It's that simple. Well, you throw them a bone every now and then. And this was basically throwing the rest of the veterans in that locker room, in my opinion, a bone. At least they let Galloway go before the deadline so he could choose, as opposed to going through waivers and having the team with the worst record claim him, and then he's got to go there. I think that's good. Now, I know that there was also some other rumors about Steven Jackson. Apparently, EEI threw that around a little bit earlier today. But Jackson's base salary on this thing is well over $5 million, about $5.5 million. I don't think that's a fit for the Patriots at any stretch, unless for some reason somebody else was going to be moved. The Patriots haven't moved that kind of, shall we say, personnel just yet. And I can't imagine the Rams, as bad as they are, why they would want to get rid of Steven Jackson, because they still have 10 games worth of tickets to sell for this year. And he's basically the only selling point they really got. Well, I'd love to have him here, and there apparently would be a need, depending upon what Sammy Morris's knee injury situation is like. Frankly, I just don't know that that would seem to be a match. But I'll tell you what, let's do this. Let's make sure that you know that the way you reach us here on the program is webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. And the telephone number, 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. A couple of things that we want to deal with today, because today is the trading deadline. If you're tweeting, if you're Twittering, if you're blogging, if you're searching the internet, if you obviously are not getting anything done at work today, we're happy to have you aboard, number one. But if you happen to be on some other sites and you see some other interesting either rumors or stories that seem to be coming about and you want to fire them in here to the show, send them via email. If you have questions about other players that are being rumored about, send them in via email, all right? We will share them, and if they obviously turn out to be the case, then we'll give you the full credit for, you know, sending us the information. You know, Jason is also doing that as well here. We do hope to check in with a couple of other folks between now and the end of the program today to bring you the very latest information that we can. And then, of course, today being Tuesday is Nitpick Tuesday. And quite frankly, I'm not sure there's anything we can nitpick about with a 59-0 win on Sunday, which is one of the more incredible things that I have seen in covering the National Football League as I have for better than 30 years. It was one of the most bizarro world days I have ever seen. Probably was for you too. But I can guarantee you, I can find something to nitpick about. Question is, can you find something to nitpick about? So we'll run through nitpicks, superlatives, the record book, trading rumors, all of that right here on Patriots Playbook. Webradio@patriots.com is how you reach us, and we'll continue with more coming up after this.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriots season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriots season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun and back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, not tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
And off right up the middle to Lawrence Maroney. First down, breaking clear to the 15-yard line. He's to the 10-yard line, to the 5-yard line, and he's into the end zone. Touchdown, 45-yard touchdown run, blasting it right up the middle, Lawrence Maroney.
Gil Santos with a call. Lawrence Maroney certainly not one to nitpick about for his performance on Sunday. You know, it's kind of funny because when he was going through his performance on Sunday, I'll be honest with you, I'm thinking, I still don't like him. He can rush for 226 yards, and I'm still not going to like the guy. I guess what I've done here is I have made up my mind about Lawrence Maroney. Now, I'm glad for Lawrence the human being and Lawrence the player to have had a good game, because I think we all know that he was certainly capable of having this kind of game. But as far as the Patriots are concerned, I just still don't know if this is the fit that the Patriots need. Right now they need him because, again, depending upon what Sammy Morris's status is going to be about, and I guess we may not know definitively more, and even so we may not know at all, the way injuries are released around here. We may not know at least more until tomorrow when the first participation report comes out before the Bucks game in London on Sunday. And by the way, that's the other thing with this whole week. Obviously, this is a different week because the Patriots are playing overseas. It's Tampa Bay's home game, technically, but the Patriots are getting ready to go to London. They're going to take off on a plane on Thursday, and they're going to head overseas. They're going to play at famed Wembley Stadium on Sunday afternoon against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I know that we have a very large contingent of UK Patriots fans who support the team and tune into this program and PFW in progress as well. And so for those of you who are listening overseas, first of all, thank you, number one, for your support. Number two, hey, let's hear from you. Tell us what the hubbub is about over there. How's the local media in London and in the United Kingdom treating the National Football League? Is it getting any run? Is it sharing the back page or the main section of the sports page with UEFA or Premiership, or is it basically inside the fold stuff? I'd be curious to know. I realize it's the Patriots, and then obviously the Tampa Bay Bucks to a lesser extent, even though again this is their home game. But I'd like to know, and I'm sure those here on this side of the pond would like to know. Well, what's the anticipation in London for the game upcoming? And hopefully we'll get a chance to deal with some of that here on the program throughout the course of the week, because it is a different week schedule for this team this week. In fact, so much so that Patriots Friday this week here on Patriots.com Radio is actually going to be Thursday from 10 until 2 during the Dale and Holly show on WEEI. And then we will be here with the playbook, the regular scheduled playbook from 2 until 4 Eastern time on Thursday, picking up because the team will be getting ready to get on a plane at that time.
And then Fantasy Lowdown will follow you on Thursday. It will be a taped show. So anybody listening who has fantasy questions going into the weekend,
send your questions
send them
early.
In advance. We're going to be taping the show on Wednesday. So they'll get included on Wednesday's show, but get those emails into webradio@patriots.com now, and I'll make sure Bilo gets them.
There you go. All right. So we have a little bit of a change this week in terms of the programming because of the travel. That also means that next week, as we do a little shopkeeping here, next week's program schedule will be adjusted somewhat because the team will be flying back from London on Monday during the normal Patriots Monday programming here. So Patriots Monday next week, it'd be just like they played either to be just like they played a Monday night football game. Patriots Monday next week will be on Tuesday. So pretend like next Sunday's game is a Monday night game, because next week's programming, even though it is a bye week the following week, so I don't think there'll be a whole lot to get up in arms about. But Patriots Monday next week will actually be on Tuesday, which means we will not have the playbook next Tuesday. But we will have it on Wednesday. So, Wednesday and Thursday next week. So, for the bye week. So, at any rate, that's the sort of the look ahead, if you will. And I'd really be interested to hear from UK Patriots fans, those that follow the team this week, to let me know what the anticipation is and how the local media, in London, in the United Kingdom, anywhere else in Europe where, you may be, listening to this program, if there's any reaction at all. I mean, I realize that NFL Europe, sadly to say, is gone now. I actually thought that was a kind of a unique deal, and I'm sure that the diehard football fans would probably agree with me. It's too bad that the owners decided to pull the plug on that. They just didn't want to spend any more money on it. But I liked it. I thought it certainly was a great way to extend your brand. And I think we saw that there are certainly pockets of areas in Europe in particular where the NFL could work. Now, I don't know that we'll ever see a permanent franchise because of the time difference located over there, but I do like the fact that the NFL has decided to make a concerted effort now to try to play an overseas game, if you will, at least once a year. And this, of course, is this year's journey, and they're going to give all teams in the league an opportunity, apparently, to play abroad and to go elsewhere and do that. The only way that I think you're ever going to see a foreign team enter the National Football League is if it happens to be on this continent. Whether or not they decide to go to, a Toronto or a Montreal or a Mexico City, which seem to be, to me, the only cities that could perhaps sustain a National Football League franchise. I certainly think that London would have to be a candidate. I think, Barcelona in Spain would have been a candidate based on the success that they had in NFL Europe. I'm not so sure that there would be any others just off the top of my head. Maybe Frankfurt. I know they had the Galaxy in NFL Europe for a while, but certainly somewhere there in, I guess, central Germany, especially with the American Armed Forces influence in Germany as well. Perhaps Germany would be a spot for a franchise, but it would almost be where you'd have to create. If you're going to do one team, you'd have to do a whole division. You'd have to have a whole international division, I think, to make it work. And then teams would have to come overseas for an extended road trip. It may be more trouble than it's worth. So I think for the time being, this is a good thing to expand the brand so those who are transplanted can see NFL football, and those who are originally from European countries can see why the National Football League is the number one sport in the United States. And there's no doubt in my mind, and I think most people who listen to this show would have to agree, that pro football in this country, American football, let's be specific now, of course, pro football in this country has supplanted baseball as the national pastime, I think, gradually over the course of the last 20 years. And certainly in the last decade, I think the NFL has been at the top of the heap. And I think television ratings and internet hits and radio ratings and internet popularity with websites such as Patriots.com and things along those lines, I there's no question in my mind, the numbers back that statement up. Why is it popular with you if you're in the UK? When did you get to be a Patriots fan? What about the Patriots turned you on to the team? What about the National Football League gets you going that, say, Premiership Soccer doesn't? And I have to admit, I'm a fan of English soccer. I do enjoy watching it. Big fan of soccer when the World Cup comes around as well. You know, and obviously I do a lot of work here for the Revolution and MLS, but you know, I'd just be curious to know what your thoughts are when it comes to, you know, American football and the NFL. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. That's the telephone number. All right, let me get some emails in here. Let me start off with strippers. You know, the our good friend strippers, who's the Oklahoma Sooner fan. I don't even think you're...
Strippers sent you that?
He's an Did he go to Oklahoma? Strippers, did you go to Oklahoma? See, because I have a hard time saying, you know, he's the Oklahoma guy if you don't go to Oklahoma. I mean, I can understand you being misguided about Oklahoma if you went to Oklahoma. But if you're an Oklahoma fan and you didn't go there, you don't live there, then why? You would have no reason to be an Oklahoma fan other than being just a cheap front runner. Like being a Yankee fan but not being from New York or not having it, you know, in your family heritage. I mean, wow. So strippers, you know, obviously wanted to get the offensive on me because, you know, my Longhorns beat his Sooners this weekend. And, you know, I didn't do any talking last week, strippers. Remember? Did no talking. I said, you know, I'm going to let the game and the scoreboard speak for itself. Which I did. No reason to brag. Fully expected to win that game. But Stripper says, Texas beat OU by 3, an OU team without their Heisman quarterback, without all-world tight end Jermaine Gresham, an OU team that had moved to tight end to guard because they lost the starting guard Simmons a week earlier. What would be the score if Texas did not have McCoy and Shipley? The same. It would have been the same. McCoy was really not very good on Saturday, and the Sooners' defense played great on Saturday, and they shut Shipley down. Texas won because of their defense, or did you not watch the game, strippers? Texas defense was every bit as good as Oklahoma's and obviously 3 points better. So you got to bring me something else better than that. That's pretty weak stuff. So in terms of, you know, in basketball parlance, I'm rejecting that one into the stands, pal. This is just for you, strippers, by the way. Thank you, doctor.
Okay. Can you sing it for us?
Texas fight, for it's Texas that we love best. Give them hell, give them hell. Oh, you suck, and it's goodbye to all the rest. How's that? Does that work for you? He just recorded that.
That could come back later.
I'm such a glutton for punishment. I knew you were going to do that. I did actually know he was going to do that. But I sung anyway. See? I'm manning up here, strippers. I'm manning up. And you're hiding behind, you know, a cheap email. Come on.
He wrote you back.
Did he? I'm going to have to look at it here. Hold on. I got a little thing going here. He says, oh, no, I did not go to OU. But back in the 80s, I saw the beautiful Wishbone on my TV and fell in love with Jamel Holloway, Keith Jackson, and the Boz, and been a fan ever since. Strippers, do you know where the Wishbone was invented? Come on. Come on. I know you know. I know you know the answer to this. Come on. Admit it to yourself. Admit it. You know. Yeah. 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 That's who. So see, you have your misguided love of the Sooners. Your misguided love of the Sooners. You have to thank Texas for that. How about that for irony of ironies? What time is it? It's 2:49. NOU still sucks. Thank you very much. All right. Thank you. All right. Very, very good. All right. This one comes from Steve, who says, just got your radio cast on, and I'm in the West Midlands of the UK, but we'll be traveling down to London for the Pats game. Really can't wait. Got my tickets the day they came out earlier in the year and have been a longtime fan of the Patriots since the big tune of Bledsoe days in the 90s. The NFL in the UK is a really big deal now. TV is showing loads of adverts about the Pats versus Tampa game. We definitely need more American football coverage in the UK. Sky Sports shows a few games, but last year they did show more. I know normally TV or BBC Channel 5 will be showing the Wembley game, but I think bringing a wicked team like New England to the UK will explode its popularity tenfold.
You come straight here from the party.
Yeah, well, I think he did. Thank you, Steve. He says, thanks, guys. Love the show. And we appreciate your following. So that's awesome. Those of you, again, in the UK, this is your chance. This is your week. This is your week. And I know a lot of you have Facebooked me, and you've you know, you follow my tweets and all that kind of stuff. So this is your week. I want you to come to the table here. If at all possible, take some time. Send me a note. If you want to just specifically for this show, then just you know, put in the subject line for Patriots Playbook. Because all of our emails for this show and PFW and obviously Shop Talk and Fantasy Lowdown, it all comes to the same web address, webradio@patriots.com. So make sure you specifically go that route, and we'll talk about it here on the show. But I want to know, you know, first of all, are you going to the game? Number two, what are your thoughts behind the popularity of the NFL in the UK? And how is the media treating the build-up to this game in London and in the United Kingdom? Actually, you know, I think it's probably going to build up here as the week progresses. Right now, the, you know, the impending trade deadline in an hour and 10 minutes or so is getting much more run than it ever would normally. You know, you heard Chris Price from WEEI.com say earlier in the hour that, you know, if the Patriots made an in-season trade, it'd be their first in a little over 3 years. But nobody really expects that to happen. Although, you know, with the cuttings and comings and goings of Tully Bantakane and Joey Galloway and Eric Alexander and Michael Matthews here earlier today, it's led to a lot of speculation. So those of you that are on the web and you're trying to find out the information about what you can about the Patriots or any other team that's going on, by all means, if you come across an interesting idea, send it here to the show and we'll talk about it. Webradio@patriots.com. Howard, our friend Howard in Connecticut. Thought he'd send us his nitpick Tuesday. He says, are you kidding? I guess the fact that they didn't score more or get touchdowns on every possession could be a nitpick. That's true. Actually, I do have one nitpick. I did say I was going to share with you my nitpick. And my nitpick isn't so much about what the Patriots didn't do, but it's about the weak call, the very generous call, that the officiating crew gave the Tennessee Titans when the Patriots had Vince Young sacked for his safety in the end zone, that would have given the Patriots an NFL record 61-0 route. 61-0 whitewashing. It would have been the largest route in the National Football League since the merger of the AFL and the NFL in 1970. Of course, as it was, the one number that I think most everybody is probably aware of by now, 59-0, the final on Sunday, tied the record for the largest route since the NFL-AFL merger in 70. It was the Rams beating up at the Falcons 59-0 back in 1976. So it was easily the biggest route in, what, 33 years in the National Football League on Sunday. But the officials, I don't know what they were thinking, but that play that would have made it 61-0, quite frankly, I thought was very generous and maybe a bone being thrown to the Titans so they wouldn't be thoroughly embarrassed for all time, because I don't know that 61-0 in this league ever gets surpassed. I mean, think about it for a second, okay? An extraordinary set of events had to occur on Sunday for 59-0 to occur. You had to have a team, first of all, that was disinterested. You had that. Second of all, you had to have probably some bizarre weather conditions that certainly favor one team and not so much the other. Well, you know, you wouldn't necessarily think that the snow and the slush would disfavor Tennessee, because it's not like they've never had that before. They have. But the Patriots obviously they play well in those kind of conditions. They're 11-0 in snow games all time. Tom Brady, 7-0 in snow games all time. So that favored, I guess you'd have to say, one team over the other. So that's another. So you have that, you have a disinterested team, and then that disinterested team still has to cough the football up numerous times and make numerous mistakes. Because even a disinterested team, even if they just laid down, you're probably not going to give up more than what? A touchdown, 10 points a quarter, and probably be a score somewhere in the 40s, right? Well, they gave up the football enough with the fumbles and the interceptions. And one thing led to another, and it just got to be a feeding frenzy, like, you know, like sharks on a carcass. So I really believe my nitpick is the officiating crew could have given the Patriots and should have, upon further review, looking at it again, should have given the Patriots a safety. And they didn't. I mean, he was caught in the end zone. And you recall he was whirled around in the end zone. And then as he landed on the ground, he slammed the ball to the turf where the nose of the football was just outside the end zone before it came loose. And obviously the ground can't cause a fumble. But his progress did not, clearly did not escape the goal line. That's a safety. They just didn't want to pin it on him because that's a record, again, that would have stayed with Tennessee probably forever. Or certainly, I think it stands to reason, within our lifetimes here. So there's my big nitpick of the day. And it's not necessarily on the Patriots. It's on the officiating crew for screwing it up. You got to call it as you see it. You have to call it as you see it. It's not, you know, your job to take pity on another team that can't play. That's not your job. The interpretation of the call was incorrect. All right. Thank you, Howard. You kind of brought to light my main nitpick from Sunday's game. He says, other than that, as for the defense letting the Titans get those few big runs in there, other than that, I don't see much to nitpick in a 59-0 shellacking. As for today and all the rumors swirling around, I find them very interesting and will stay tuned to hear what could or does transpire. However, I believe at the end of the day not much will happen other than we restructure a few contracts and LaVar and Tate join the roster to take the place of Matthews and Galloway. Well, so far, Howard, you've hit the nail on the head. Right now, there is nothing huge to talk about. Right now, even though technically LaVar and Tate's signing to the active roster has not yet been announced by the team, my guess is that won't come. It will probably not come until after 4 p.m. Eastern time because they'll let the trading deadline come and go. There's probably some folks on the phones right now as we speak trying to see if maybe there might be something in the work. Maybe there might be a team willing to play. Who knows? I would be surprised, as was suggested by Chris Price earlier. Would not be surprised if the Patriots didn't have some conversations with Seattle for Deion Branch. That certainly seems to be to me to make the most sense of any potential deal that's out there of everything that has been rumored. We all know the Patriots need another receiver. With all due respect to Sam Aiken and Julian Edelman. But because of, you know, Branch's, knee problems the last couple of years in Seattle, I'm a little skeptical, like most people should be. Yes, he knows the playbook. Yes, he was a favorite of Tom Brady's. We know this. Yes, Tom is going to obviously seek him out if he gets to the team, but is he physically able to do the duty? Will he be able to? Does he have enough left in his legs that will allow him to stretch the field a little bit? I mean, we have Moss, we have the underneath guy in Welker, we even have Edelman in the backup for Welker, but what we need is somebody else who has the ability to, you know, draw others to him. And does Deion Branch still possess that ability? See, I don't know. You know, if you can get a cap-friendly, player-friendly, you know, deal for, say, a draft pick for Deion Branch, then sure, by all means, why not give it a go? I heard earlier today as well, someone else also suggested, and I think I heard this on EEI, I think I also heard it on ESPN Radio earlier, but we talked about this, I think, a week ago. Sean Merriman's name came up as well. Now, because the Patriots re-signed Tully Bantakane today, I'm not so sure that makes as much sense, but had they decided, you know, on Bantakane to not come back, or B, let's say, you know, when they let him go, he decided to sign a deal with somebody else, and the Patriots were left kind of with egg on their face, well, then that would have made a little bit more sense to me. I'm not so sure that's going to happen now that he's back in there, especially with Eric Alexander being cut and then re-signed as well. So it doesn't make quite as much sense. And when you add to that, you know, the fact that they did sign Junior Seau last week, unless you were going to trade a player for player, I'm not sure that makes sense. But I did hear that one mentioned earlier today. So that was another one that was out there. Let me get one more in here, and then we'll get a break in. Our friend Alejandro from Bogota, Colombia. Hello, John. Chiming in for a nitpick Tuesday. Hard to get mad at 59-0, but my nitpick has to do with the kicking game. Patriots have missed makeable field goals two games in a row. That proved to be costly in a tight game in Denver. Obviously, it was a non-factor on Sunday. Also, the punting needs to improve. Well, let me give you two quick ones here, Alejandro. Number one, you're right about the fact that it didn't make a difference on Sunday. Plus, with the field conditions being the way they were, and everybody caught completely and totally off guard by that, Steven Gostkowski gets a pass in my book on this one. Now, granted, the one 2 weeks ago against Denver did prove costly. But I would also argue that the game should never have come down to that point. That the Patriots should have had that one in control well before, you know, a field goal would have made the difference as they lost it in overtime. So, am I giving him a complete and total pass? Not exactly. But, you know, because I'm just considering the individual circumstances, I'm willing to give him at least a pass for this last week. As far as the punting is concerned, they only punted one time this week. So I'm not so sure why we'd have a problem with Chris Hansen. But, okay, you know, that's your opinion, so you have a right to it. I have another rant, he says, regarding premature celebration. I'm not talking about the NFL. I'm talking about department stores who have already put the Christmas decorations on. Hey, it's not even Halloween. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Christmas, but as a special celebration at the end of the year, not as a three-month-long propaganda. Well, you do have a point there. Christmas stuff is already out of my neighborhood drugstore down the street. Christmas decorations. Right there next to the Halloween candy that still is on the shelves that people haven't bought yet.
So ridiculous.
It kind of is, Bill. I have to agree with you. You know, Christmas, I mean, they would turn Christmas into a, you know, a six-month celebration if they could around here. I mean, it's not bad to have, you know, you hear this old cliche, you know, from time to time. It's not bad to have a little Christmas in every day that you go through. And I actually, as corny as it sounds, I try to do that as much as I humanly possibly can. It's very hard to do it every day. But I try to have that kind of a spirit about my life every day. I love what I do for a living, you know. Love my family like everybody else should. You know, love their families. You know, so it's a good thing. Things are good here. Whereas a lot of people out there right now still in this economy don't have it as good. So I truly count my blessings, and I think Christmas time is the time of year that we really can count our blessings. But really, the over-commercialization of the holiday is just beyond ridiculous. So there's one thing, Alejandro, and anybody else who cares here, that you can do to take, the business into your own hands. Don't buy anything. And I say that with all due respect to, you know, an industry, a retail industry here in the United States that, quite frankly, needs people to get out and buy because we have to do something about this economy. People are being a lot more guarded with their, you know, purchases now. And, again, I understand that. People took a hit on their savings and the 401ks and everything when the market crashed. So it's sort of a damned if you do, damned if you don't scenario. I'm hopeful that people will grudgingly somewhat decide to loosen up their purse strings and get back out there and spend some money. Because I think you realize that the reward is going to be in the trickle-down effect in the long run. And I think that's what this country needs. And again, I'm waxing political here, and I don't really mean to turn that this forum into that, but I would tell you that I'm very much a Reaganite in terms of supply-side economics there. You know, you got to buy in order to create. You got to spend in order to create. Let's just try not to go overboard on the Christmas decorations, right, Alejandro? All right, good stuff. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. We got a little less than an hour to go before the trading deadline at 4 p.m. Eastern time to come along. We'll bring you up to date again on things in case you came in late or you might have missed it earlier here. If you're listening on a podcast, then we'll bring you up to date on what has transpired thus far and what we think could transpire before the end of the day. And we certainly want your emails. Those of you over there on the other side of the great Atlantic Ocean getting ready for the Patriot invasion of the UK, are you ready for some football?
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
You gone?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services NA, Bank of America NA, member PIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Man, it's football season. I mean, usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football shaped serving trays.
Again, the I formation. Hoyer calling signals, quarterback sneak, and he's in. Touchdown. Ryan Hoyer's first NFL career touchdown as the Winter Wonderland scene continues in Foxborough. And the Patriots now have scored 58 points pending the extra point. That is the most points in Patriots history in any game in this, their 50th season.
Yeah, pretty incredible as it was. The scene, the score, the game, everything on Sunday. Welcome back. Hour number two inside the playbook for a Tuesday here on Patriots.com radio. I'm John Rook. And, of course, as the Patriots knocked off Tennessee 59-zip, or as we said on Sunday, the Oilers, kind of goofy. We should at least call them Houston. But I realize there's another team in Houston now. But, okay, whatever. I tried to get into the spirit of it. Did we do okay with that, Jason?
We did.
Okay. It was a little weird to see BOS up on the scoreboard for Boston other than NE for New England.
At least you didn't have to say Oilers touchdown.
That's true. They didn't have to say Oilers touchdown. Because they didn't even get close. They didn't sniff it. Did not even sniff it. So it is a nitpick Tuesday as per the norm here inside the playbook. As we've said, there are some real stretches in terms of nitpicks after you win a game 59-0 and it sets all of the records that it does. But we managed to find a couple. We always do on this show, don't we? We always manage to find nitpicks on this show. So I think that's a good thing. It just means that, you know, hey, we're catching stuff. We're looking for stuff here. Just in case, and by the way, also, this being the trade deadline coming up in about 51 minutes or thereabouts, 4 p.m. Eastern time, if anything happens in the NFL world of a trade note that we can pass along to you, we will do that before we're done here at 4 p.m. Eastern today. In the meantime, the records, the team records that were set by the Patriots, in case You were not privy to all of that information after the game was over. But in the aftermath, and now that they've had a chance to cross all the T's and dot all the I's here, the team record set by the Patriots included most points in a game, 59. Most points in a half, 45 in the first half. Most points in a quarter, 35 in the second quarter, which was incredible. In fact, I remember right at halftime, the first thing I did was go to the record book and see. So that's got to be record for points in a quarter. I don't think I've ever seen a team, even in college, score 35 points a quarter. I've seen 31. I've seen a bunch of 28s. I don't know that I've ever seen 35 in a quarter. Patriots set a team record for most total net yards in a game with 619. And by the way, that was the seventh game. The seventh game in the National Football League since the AFL-NFL merger in 1970. The seventh game where a team had more than 600 yards of total offense. Hasn't happened all that often. Now, you see 600-plus in college football, you know, every so often. Usually happens maybe even as often as once or twice a week just because of the mismatches that can occur in college football. It almost never happens in the pro game. Witness the fact that it's happened just seven times in the last 39 years. So it was one of seven in the last 39 years. Most passing net yards in a game, 426 net yards by the Patriots, which tied franchise record. Most touchdowns in a game, 8, tied the record. Most passing yards in a half, Tom Brady, 345 in the first half, new franchise record. Most passing touchdowns in a half, Brady, 5 in the first half, new franchise record. Most passing touchdowns in a game, Brady had 6, that ties the franchise record. And it goes on and on. Two NFL records were set by the Patriots as well on Sunday. Most touchdown passes in a quarter, Brady threw 5 in the second quarter. Most ever in a quarter, and the largest halftime lead of any game, anytime, in National Football League history. It was 45-0 at halftime. So the Patriots have the all-time halftime lead, which is pretty significant. And again, of course, the 59-0 win ties the largest shutout victory by an NFL team since the 1970 AFL-NFL merger, as I mentioned in the opening hour of the program today. The Rams had beaten the Falcons 59-0 back on December the 4th of 1976. And then the 59-point victory ties the largest margin of victory by any team since the merger as well, equaling the Rams' 59-point win over Atlanta on that same date in 1976, which is why I was nitpicking against the officials, because I just don't think they wanted to slap the Tennessee/Houston Oilers record book with a 61-0 defeat, being the largest in NFL history since the merger. I don't think they wanted to do it. It's not up to them to decide. The game should dictate that. And you know what? Shame on the Oilers. I heard somebody on EEI, I guess it was, it must have been yesterday, and they're ragging on what they call pink hats. You know what the phrase pink hat means in the sports vernacular? A pink hat is someone who, generally speaking, I'm sorry to say this, ladies, it's a woman who doesn't understand the general thought process of going for the jugular, who's a passive fan. Sometimes guys who could be considered passive fans could be called or accused of wearing a pink hat. It's supposed to be less than masculine, okay? Is it sexist? Yeah, sure it is. Because I know plenty of women who are big-time football fans. In fact, I know we have several of them who listen to this show. So don't be offended. I'm just saying that's what the explanation of the term pink hat is all about. And so I heard them talking about how, you know, pink hats would probably be out in force on this one because, you know, the Patriots won 59-0. They'd be accused of running up the score. Well, let me explain something to you. There's no such thing in sports as running up the score, especially in professional sports. Why? Because there's too much parity in pro sports with salary caps in place. The parity is there where if someone gets the crap beat out of them, shame on them. A team has to stand up at some point in time and say, you know what? It's up to us to stop the other guys. And this was the big argument against the Patriots 2 years ago in 2007. And we had people on this program here complaining about it in 2007. Oh, the Patriots should take it easy on everybody. They're running up the score. What good does that serve? Blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, bunk on that. Crap on it. It absolutely is a pink hat philosophy. There's no such thing as running up the score. You take what you get in this league because fame is fleeting. Fortune is fleeting. And I'm not buying, oh, payback can be a bitch. I'm not buying that either. You know what? Payback happens when payback happens, period. It's up to you, being a professional athlete, to keep payback from happening, number one. And number two, to keep the route, if you're on the receiving end of that slapping, it's up to you to keep it from happening. But the Titans slash Oilers on Sunday laid down. You could see it. If you saw the game, they did not want to be there. They were already 0-5. Most of those guys have already quit on the season. I felt horrible for Jeff Fisher. He's a better coach than what this team is showing. And you know what? The most incredible thing about it all is that this is a team that started 10-0 last year on their way to a 13-3 record, best record in the NFL during the regular season. How could that team fall so far so fast? And I don't even think the Titans can put their finger on it. It's a combination of several things, as it usually always is. But let's start at the top with Albert Haynesworth no longer being there. Then right underneath that is Kerry Collins becoming more like Kerry Collins, the reason why he'd bounced and went around from team to team. You know, and then you have to probably throw Vince Young's all of a sudden ineffectiveness in there as well. And then the Titans are just banged up. Banged up. I mean, you know, they missed, what, three starters in their secondary on Sunday as well? So you knew the Patriots were going to take advantage of them. And they were going to abuse them. And it was still up to whoever was going to be in there to play to make a play, to do something to stop the other guys. And it just so happens the Patriots picked a great day to get back into sync. And as Patriots fans, we've all been clamoring to see the offense click on all cylinders again. We've all been clamoring for Tom Brady to be like Tom Brady again. And I think on Sunday, he was as close as he's been all season long to being the Tom of 2007, something we've been waiting for. And we thought, you know what, it was just going to take some time, but that eventually it was going to happen. And it looks like we got our wish, maybe a little bit early, certainly under bizarre circumstances with the weather on Sunday, but we got our wish. And yet there are still some out there going, well, they should have taken it too easy. They shouldn't have taken it so hard on them. You know, those kind of comments get me up in arms. They just really get me going. Yeah, in pro sports, and especially the NFL, there's just no such thing as taking it easy on anybody. And for those that don't understand that mentality, then you probably don't need to be a football fan. Go off and watch tennis. Or golf. And I would argue even in golf that Tiger, you know, puts his foot on the jugular of his opponents as well as any golfer in history. Certainly since Jack Nicklaus. So everybody who thinks Tiger's such a nice story, he's such a nice young man and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Hey, Tiger would just as soon, you know, gouge your eyeballs out with a spoon. As opposed to, you know, playing in a twosome or a foursome with you.
Miss.
The all-time best scenes. Anytime I get ready to do something and I need a little concentration, my 14-year-old son comes up behind me and goes, Noonan! Just like, I want to turn around and whack him, but, you know, I laugh instead. Oh, goodness. Okay. So anyway, there's a good rant for the day in terms of, you know, going for the kill and running up the score. There's no such thing. This one comes from Jay near Rochester. Jay, how are you? He says, John, welcome back. I bet you were happy to return from sunny Florida in time for the blizzard. Yeah. Last Thursday wasn't on the show for those that, might have wondered because I was doing a college football game down in Tampa. I had the Cincinnati South Florida game on ISP, and it was a good game. Number one, number two, it was 90 degrees when I got off the plane. It was still in the mid 80s game time on Thursday night, so And it just ironically happened to be in Tampa, where the Patriots are, well, were going to play this week until they moved the game to London, but still pretty good. At any rate, he says, were the cheerleaders in their costumes on Sunday everything you were hoping for? All we saw on TV was one in a devil outfit, but it was just her head. That's all they showed on CBS? You got to be kidding me. Those cheerleaders, by the way, kudos to the cheerleaders, okay? I really need to tell Tracy Cermonti this, but quite frankly, you know, I knew, and we knew, because we talked about it last week on the show, Jay. You mentioned that you thought this next week was going to be, you know, the Halloween costume week, and so I was like, oh, this is the best weekend of the year for the cheerleaders, because the costumes, quite frankly, guys, are fantastic. And when they came out, they were nowhere to be found except for the, you know, the pregame, and they came out and did their routine in their Halloween costumes, which many of them, most of them, were scantily clad, I might add. And they came out while it was snowing and performed in the pregame. And I, you know, and everybody stood and applauded and checked and screamed and all that stuff. Just because, you know, they thought it was great that they were out there doing that in bad condition. Then they went back inside and were nowhere to be found, you know, for the rest of the first half. And I'm thinking, okay, well, it's too cold for them to be out there and blah, blah, blah. They came back out again in costume and performed again at the end of the quarter and then at halftime. And then at halftime, they went back in and finally changed into, you know, their, you know, nice velvety-looking sweatsuits, which also, and they had hats on, too, to, you know, keep the coifs from getting too messed up.
I got to tell you, I talked to Tracy pregame, and I go, look, what's the deal? You guys are still doing this, right? And she goes, well, I don't know. It's called. I said, look, we put three Halloween songs together. It's not going to make any sense if they're not in their costumes. I said, I don't care if you take the girls off the field to keep them warm. But when we do those routines, you got to have them out there. And when we played Thriller at the two-minute warning, some of my people told me that it was louder than the Super Bowl at that moment.
It was loud. The fans really appreciated the cheerleaders' performance on Sunday because they were out there in those scantily, you know, clad uniforms, those Halloween costumes, to entertain. And they did a magnificent job. So kudos to you. Kudos to you, Jason.
I speak for the fans.
Well, you do, and you speak very well for them. You did a good job. And kudos to the Patriots cheerleaders for being out there and performing under adverse conditions. Well played. Well done. Okay, Jay goes on. On to the Tuesday nitpicking. My first is Lawrence Maroney. My nit with him is that I can't nitpick about him this week. That's the funniest thing I've seen today. That's awesome. He actually looked pretty good and showed heart and emotion. Let's hope he keeps it up, but figure he'll be back to nitpick number one again next week. I love that. You're right. That was the obvious nit today, and I didn't remember it because we always nitpick on Lawrence Maroney. And so the number one nitpick today should be, I can't nitpick on Maroney. That's great. Great. He says, seriously, my only real problem this week was with the lack of arm use while tackling from the secondary. I agree with you that Merriweather has stepped up as a leader, but he still forgets that he has arms when he tries to make a tackle. Okay, I'll buy that. Maybe he and Wilhite can't see their arms through the dreadlocks and forget they're there. They should take lessons from McGowan. He's quickly becoming the most consistent player on defense, in my opinion. Thanks for the great show, Janie Rochester. He says, oh, by the way, congrats on the Texas win. You hear that, strippers? Yeah, the Texas win. Yeah. The Texas win. Doesn't matter what the score was. Texas has won 4 out of 5 in the series. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Just want to make sure you understand that, because you'd be doing the same to me if OU had won the game, okay? And undoubtedly you will, whenever it is that they might actually win again. Big game Bob. excellent email, Jay. Excellent email. What's his name say? Rack him! That's a good one. Who the hell is that? Why am I drawing a blank here? I don't remember. Okay. Let's go back. Dun, 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 dun. Here we go. Looks like we got one coming in from the UK right now as we speak. Yahoo. This one is from, oh, God. Just love this. Hold on. Time out. I have to log in again. I know this makes for scintillating radio. Sorry. But this happens with this server here that we're using. All right. Our friend Andrew, Andy from Ireland, is sending this email. He says, John, I've listened to the show for over 2 years now and have never emailed. Love the show, by the way. Hey, well, I'm glad you took the time to email. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that. He says, I'm writing from Ireland and wanted to share my opinion on the whole football in Europe situation. Beautiful. It's exactly what I asked for, so fire it away and keep it coming. He says, regarding what attracted me to football and the Patriots, well, for me, my dad is in the Army and went to the U.S. on trips in the late 90s. So he brought me back a John Elway jersey, and I started an interest from there. Then when I went to Vermont skiing in Boston in 2002, I really liked Boston because Brady was an Irish name. I started supporting the Pats. I've been obsessed ever since. I've converted most of my family and friends to football and regularly stay up till 5 o'clock in the morning to watch games before getting up at 7 to travel to college. Good for you, Andy. Good for you. That is some real dedication, pal. He says, my opinions on the NFL in Europe is as follows. We do get some coverage over here, but not enough. A bit on Sky Sports, two games a week, but no real newspaper coverage, really. In my opinion, Europeans don't really take to American football. I hear it's too slow and too complicated from people all the time. However, the popularity does seem to be improving. There are amateur football teams starting up all over Ireland, and I played a bit of it myself. However, I couldn't commit to it as I played rugby, too, and couldn't manage to make both, to play both. That'd be a little difficult. Also might be a little taxing on you physically, I would think. Andy says, with the games on Sky Sports and the increased coverage on the Internet, football can only grow over here. To what extent, it's hard to know. As in Ireland, we have at least four team sports much more popular in soccer, rugby, hurling, and Gaelic football. Hurling. Is that throwing the big phone pole up in the air and seeing how far you can throw it? Like, you know, a javelin on steroids type thing? Or is that what you do after you have too much tequila at night? Okay, never mind. That was bad. With Europe, I don't think anything could come close to the popularity of soccer. But there are pockets where the NFL is hugely popular. Regarding a team over here, the time difference is only 5 or 6 hours. Would that make much difference in the 4 hours to the West Coast? Well, it's 3 hours difference between here and the West Coast. I know it would be 11 from West Coast to Europe, but if the league was more regionalized, it could work. I know it would probably involve shaking up the divisions considerably. It would be possible. Unfortunately, I won't be at the game myself. The tickets sold out before I had a chance to buy them, but I will be watching intently on Sky Sports. Hope you enjoy London. It's a great city. Apologize for the length of my email. No. Good email, Andy. Thank you for sending email to the program, and I hope that you'll contribute again soon. Actually, I don't get to go to the game this weekend, unfortunately, but I have been to London before, and I enjoy London immensely. I really enjoy traveling on the underground. I think it's a great way to get around. You know, I've done all the touristy things, been to London Bridge, been to Big Ben, been in to see the Parliament, been to the Queen's residence, you know, Trafalgar Square, been to all that. It's great stuff, by the way. Love it. Absolutely love it. Marvelous, marvelous city. Can't wait to go back. In fact, I'll be looking for in some places to kind of hang in 2012 when the Olympic Games come over there, because my son and I have decided we want to go to London for the Olympics in 2012. So anybody that wants to offer up a place for us to crash, by all means. I thought I'd just throw that out there right now while we're talking about it. But, yeah, great city. Love London. And that's why I'm asking. It's been cool to see this kind of thing come about, and I hope that, obviously, we continue to play these games in the NFL from time to time. Yes, thank you, Shannon. It was Jim Rome. Yes, it was Jim Rome. Why I was drawing a blank. I don't listen to Jim Rome all that often, mostly because I'm usually working while he's on the air, and I don't get a chance to stream his show or anything. I do see his show on ESPN from time to time. Rome is burning, but yes, Jim Rome. Thank you, Shannon. It was Jim Rome, and I was going to wreck email, right? Yes, that was the one I was going to do. Okay. I'm so confused here because I'm going back and forth between this email and that blog and trying to keep up. Yeah, I know. Trying to keep up with what's going on with the trade news. Let me see. I'm going to go back up to date here and bring you up to date now, and then we'll get back to the emails here momentarily. But on anything that might be happening NFL trade-wise, right now it's still quiet. It doesn't look to me that anything's on the front burner or even the back burner. That doesn't mean it won't change over the next 30 minutes. Did get this note as well, though, through ProFootballTalk.com, who says that the Jets look like they're going to be simplifying things for Mark Sanchez after, you know, his record-setting day, in a negative sense, against Buffalo on Sunday. So I guess offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer is apparently going to retool some things in the offensive playbook for Mark Sanchez. It was also said here that Rex Ryan said that Mark has to realize that sometimes it's okay to take the incompletion, referring to the interceptions he threw, the five he threw on Sunday. He says the coach also thought that the acquisition of Braylon Edwards will take some adjusting to. Okay, so it looks like they may try to simplify the playbook for Sanchez. This also coming from PFT, the Buffalo Bills were dangling receiver return specialist Roscoe Parrish and actually have been doing so for weeks. We talked about it, I think, a couple of weeks ago here on the show. Says they are now expected not to trade Parrish to a new team before the 4 p.m. deadline. Parrish was a healthy scratch on Sunday against the Jets due to the possibility that a deal would be struck. The thinking is that the Bills missed their chance to move Parrish, probably by asking for too much in return. During the Week 5 game against the Browns, Parrish bungled one return for a significant loss of yards, then fumbled a late-game opportunity, allowing the Browns to seal the victory with a field goal. Parrish is under contract through 2011. His base salary for the current season is $1 million, so it's obviously an affordable salary. So I guess they've decided to keep him rather than trade him for what they probably feel like they can't get back in value. So that is the latest there. If you are just tuning in for some reason or you're wondering what's going on with the Patriots and some of the things that you've heard about Tully Bantakane and Joey Gallo and everything, we will recap for you coming up. Still plenty of time for your emails, webradio@patriots.com and the telephone number 508-543-7482. It's a busy day right here inside the playbook.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about... samba dancing in Rio back on Monday. Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
It's been an interesting and busy day here in Patriots Nation, inside Patriots Playbook on American Airlines Patriots.com radio. John Rook with you here on a Tuesday. And again, just to recap for you, Patriots released Tully Bantakane late yesterday, re-signed him today. They also released Joey Galloway and tight end Michael Matthews and linebacker Eric Alexander, but they re-signed Eric Alexander. So they re-signed the two linebackers, ostensibly to back in their deals a little bit and make their numbers more cap-friendly. But Galloway and Matthews are gone. There is still no news yet on whether or not the call-ups to take their spots on the roster will come from the practice squad or the physically unable to perform, otherwise known as the PUP list. But certainly the speculation continues that will be the case, most likely. I mean, we're thinking, at least anywhere, Brandon Tate will be one of those, and Mark Lavore on the offensive line could possibly be another one, and certainly Terrence Nunn's name has been mentioned as well as a potential for a call-up in the absence of Galloway. And, of course, the rumor has continued to persist throughout the course of the day that Patriots might be trying to wrangle Deion Branch from Seattle, but it would obviously depend on what Seattle would want in return as the Patriots search for a number three wide receiver, certainly with some knowledge of the playbook, and he would certainly seem to fill those two particular aspects of a potential deal. But then again, he's under contract, I think, for another year through Seattle, so they'd have to get something in return, and there's some questions about his health with the knee injuries that he's had since he's been in Seattle, since signing a free agent deal and going over with them, since leaving the Patriots. So I don't know that deal gets done, folks. I don't know. It would make sense if it does, if the Patriots don't have to give up a lot. You know that they're not going to give up a lot. Otherwise, they'll just play with the cards that they currently are holding. And that's the very latest here on signing day, as we're now about 24 minutes away from the signing deadline. All right, now what we're going to do for you here is just a short while ago here at Gillette Stadium, quarterback Tom Brady had an opportunity to take part in his normal weekly conference call with members of the media generally outside of New England because of the demand for, you know, obviously his interview request. And especially in light of the fact that the game this Sunday is going to be played in London at Wembley Stadium against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, there was huge amount of interest, especially from those in the UK, media in the UK, asking to speak to the Patriots quarterback. So what we're going to do for you here, after a Brady pass for 380 yards and tied a franchise record with six touchdown passes in the 59-0 win over the Tennessee Titans/Oilers on Sunday, five touchdown passes again in the second quarter, the first quarterback in NFL history with five touchdown passes in a single quarter. All right, we're going to let you hear what he had to say to members of the media in his conference call earlier today here at Gillette.
Hi, Tom. It's David Finley here from East Coast Publications. Pleasure to talk to you. Just wondering, could you just give us your thoughts, your general thoughts ahead of the game this weekend in London and what it means to you and your team to be coming over to London?
Sure. Well, we're all very excited. I think this is a game that we've been looking forward to since we heard that we were flying across the Atlantic to play. So it's not too often that we fly east to play a game and to play in Wembley Stadium. It's the sport, the stadium is in the entire world. I think our team is all very excited for that.
Will you guys be conscious that this is a different type of game, you know, with a perhaps a different audience on an international stage?
Sure. I think you know, for us, the job's the same. When the ball's kicked off, the rules are the same for us. The field's the same size. We're playing an opponent that we've studied all week. Obviously, the venue's different, and, we're at a different part of the world. But, you know, I know the excitement that the English fans have for sports, especially, their favorite sport, which is their football. So hopefully we can bring back that continue to have some fans from across the world enjoy the game that we love here in America.
Tom Zellman, TV2 Sports, Denmark. How do you prepare to go across the Atlantic with all the time change and everything going into that?
Yeah, we're leaving a few days early. We're leaving on Thursday after our practice. I think we get in pretty early Friday morning, and we'll have a couple days to get acclimated to the time change. The weather's pretty similar in London as it is here in Boston. time of year, so we're pretty familiar with that. But it's just going to be trying to get our rest before the game on both Friday night and all day Saturday, and then really come out and play with a lot of excitement and energy on Sunday afternoon. It's a special game for us, and this is a game that we'll be remembering for the next, 40 or 50 years of our lives. So we all want to go out and play as well as we can.
Tom, Nick from the Times again. I know that Robert Kraft, your owner, is a great Anglophile, and I wonder if he's put any sort of extra pressure on you to impress the locals.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers are still without a win. Is there a danger you might underestimate the Buccaneers?
Yeah, well, he's as excited as anybody to play this game. I think this has been something he's been looking forward to for a long time. So he always puts a lot of pressure on me to go out there and play my best. So, there's nothing I'd rather do than go out there and have our best game of the year. We had a pretty good game this last weekend in the snow, actually, here in Boston. Hopefully it doesn't snow this weekend in London. But, this would be a great game for us to all go out there and play our best.
Tom, to you and Chad Band of the Daily Telegraph. Just wanted to ask you personally what this comeback means to you. We read at the start of the season, hadn't been going too well, you've been perhaps struggling to, just been a bit rusty and everything. Last week you had this dazzling performance. Is it a personal challenge to you? Your career is full of proving people wrong. Is this another case of it? At the start of the season, people saying, well, maybe he's not going to be the same player again, but already you seem to be proving that you are.
Yeah, I think missing out on all of last season was a very challenging experience because I really loved to play the game. I loved to play the sport, and then I had the opportunity to be out there with my teammates in a season where we had some great opportunities to repeat what we had done in the 2007 season. But, things happen, and it's a very physical sport, football, it isn't. And, I had an unfortunate injury, but I think it's really helped me grow in a lot of ways as a person, as a player, as a teammate. And, it's really reinforced with how much I enjoy playing the game and how much I love the game.
David Finley here again from Skelton Publications. I'm just wondering, do you think the team, especially after last week's 59-0 win, do you think you're playing as well as you were in the Super Bowl season where you went 18-0 and then unfortunately lost to the Giants?
Yes, that loss to the Giants was a tough loss for us. We had played such a great season, and then to play the level that we had played at was unfortunate in that game. But, that's part of the competition of the game, and that's what motivates you and drives you to go out there every week and try to perform better, because even though you have great seasons, the ultimate goal is to win the championship. And every time we start the season, there's really one goal for our team, and that's to do just that. So not undefeated or to set any kind of record, just to go out there and win a Super Bowl ring. And that's what Dark Diving Force is.
Tom, Charles Zellman, TV2 Sports. How would you describe your season so far?
I think it's been a little bit inconsistent for us. I think that's probably the word to use. We've had moments we've gone out there and played pretty good football. We've executed well. We haven't had any missed assignments. And at other times we played very good. So it's a matter of us going out there and playing a consistent game over the course of 60 minutes in all three phases of the game, offense, defense, special teams, because when we do that, when we play a real complimentary game, it puts a lot of pressure on the opposing team, like we did this last weekend where we play obviously the best game of the year, and now it's 59-0. So not to say that it's going to be like that, but your margin of error is much greater when everyone is playing the way that they're capable of going.
Tom, Jody Jackson here from the Guardian newspaper. Just a quick question for me, please. Can you pick out maybe one moment from when you were growing up as a young player that inspired you to sort of become an American football player and have the career you have done so far?
Yeah, well, I grew up in the state of California, which is on the west coast, of the United States, and there was a great football team, the San Francisco 49ers, that was probably the dominant commercial teenager. They had a quarterback named Joe Montana, who was my favorite player, and I used to go to a lot of the games and get up there in the stands and watch them play, and they won three Super Bowls when he was there, four actually, the three that I could really remember. And you know, I remember going to the parade that they had after the game when they won, and he was the one that I always wanted to see. So, you know, that was really where my love for the game started, and I started playing when I was about 12 years old in high school. Since I started playing, you know, as a team sport, it's really the ultimate game, and I've always been attracted to that. I have had some great teammates over the course of my career, and you know, I have a lot of great friends and teammates on this team as well.
Okay, just a very quick... Oh, sorry.
So just a quick one from BBC Sports. It's Martin Goff here. I just wanted to ask about the Patriots had a great game last weekend. The Buccaneers still haven't won. Is there a danger that you underestimate the Buccaneers side?
No, we don't underestimate anybody. And the reason is every team has its strengths and weaknesses. Every team is in their own way. Obviously, Tampa Bay has not played the way that, you know, they were hoping they would play this year. But, you know, every week is entirely different. And they have players who have won Super Bowls at that team. And every team is dangerous. So we don't ever take everybody lightly. We go out there and we prepare the same way every week, and we got to go out there and have a great after 6 weeks that we will perform well on Sunday.
This is a one-off game at a neutral venue. There's a little bit more hype than usual. Can you draw some parallels between this and your experience of a Super Bowl game?
Yeah, you know, I think we'll really start feeling that emotion once we get over to London. And, you know, I know there was... You know, hopefully there's a lot of excitement over there for the game. We're very excited. So we've been at this season now for about, I guess 3 months. And, you know, this game we've all been excited about since we saw it on the roster. And we got to go out for this week. We can go out and play our best. You know, this weekend it's not an easy game. It's tough one. We haven't last year to won a game get on the road this year, so you know, that's going to be a challenge for us. And I know we're looking forward to trying to get us those wins.
I'm wondering if you could just tell us a bit about your previous experiences of London.
Yeah, I've been to London a couple times. You know, I've been over there as a tourist a couple times. I've seen all the sites, I've taken the tours, I've walked the streets. I've really enjoyed, you know, being in England. I've been in other parts of the UK as well. I love golf. So, you know, I've been in Boston, Ireland, and Scotland as well. So I've really enjoyed my time over there. I think, you know, anyone who's been over to that part of the world is, you know, comes away with a greater sense of, you know, history and you know, I know it's a really good experience for us players.
That's Tom Brady earlier today here from Gillette Stadium with several members of the European media, more specifically United Kingdom. Heard, obviously, the London Times and BBC and Sky Sport and some others mentioned in there as well. But thought that especially for those of you who are overseas, of which we have a large contingent of fans again in the UK, would get a kick out of hearing some of the reporters' names and maybe even voices that you're familiar with ask the questions of Tom Brady here earlier today. And the entire interview is posted on Patriots.com on the site as well, so you can catch that if you want to do that. But I wanted to give you just a taste of that here inside the playbook, because obviously it's starting to build certainly within London. And to that end, one of our guests for tomorrow's playbook will be Nick Sapanic, I believe is how his name is pronounced, but I may be wrong about that. Anyway, he is from the London Times, and he's going to give us some insight as to just how, you know, the National Football League and this game in particular is starting to be received in the UK and in London specifically, where the game will be played at Wembley Stadium on Sunday. So he'll be amongst our guests in the playbook tomorrow. In the meantime, several emails to get to. Those of you who are firing off today, thank you so much. This one comes from Brent in Ottawa, who says, with the recent news of Galloway, Alexander, and Matthews being cut, there is growing speculation that these moves were made to clear up some cap space to bring in somebody. So far, I've heard the names Sean Merriman and Steven Jackson brought up, but I'm wondering if maybe there is any possible third receivers we might want to be able to target. Have you guys heard anything? If so, please share. You guys are the best. Thanks. Shared a little bit. The only name that's really come up has been Deion Branch. We mentioned it a short while ago, Brent. And unless they're able to work out some kind of a deal with Seattle, that's the only one that really seems to make any kind of sense for the Patriots because of his familiarity with the playbook. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, for anybody to be available at this stage of the game, something has to be wrong with the guy, you know? So, you know, he does. The reason he hasn't really worked out in Seattle to his and my liking or anybody in Seattle's liking is because he's been injured. I don't know if coming back here is going to be the panacea for him or for anybody else. And then again, what the Seahawks may be asking for might not be what the Patriots want to part with. But the Merriman and Jackson names are pie-in-the-sky names. That's why you're probably most likely not going to see anything happen between now and, say, 10 minutes from now when the deadline gets here. By the way, on the trade deadline, our friend Shannon says, come on already, it's less than 30 minutes to the trade deadline, and after the whole hubbub this morning, nothing? Man, I got worked up earlier and knew that when something happened, I had to hear it on Patriots Web Radio. So I purposely started to create random Excel spreadsheets and work documents at work just to make it appear I'm busy at my desk, but really listening to the live feed. Oh, well, at least my coworkers are clueless. Ha! And go Hawkeyes. And then no Cedric Shaw references, please. Sorry I blew the cover for you there, Shannon. Hopefully nobody's listening to the webcast. I'm kind of like you. I really thought that when I heard about Telly Bantakane earlier today that something was going to happen. I'm thinking, man, why would you let a guy go who has three sacks and clearly has been effective when he's been used by the Patriots at a position which has taken a lot of heat at outside linebacker this year, read into that Adalis Thomas, then something bigger had to be in the works, right? Apparently not, because Bantakane has been re-signed. Eric Alexander was released, and then he also re-signed, probably in a similarly structured deal to what Tully has had. Joey Galloway was cut. Michael Matthews was cut, which leaves two roster openings. And to that end, we can mention that practice this afternoon, which is just now wrapping up here, Tully Bantakane, Eric Alexander, Adalis Thomas were all present and accounted for at practice today. And then so were Mark Lavore and Brandon Tate from the PUP list and the practice squad. So, again, no official announcement from the team as of yet as to they're being called up to the roster to perhaps replace Galloway and Matthews, but I can tell you that that at least is the that's the case at this point in time. So that's where we are currently in terms of the roster and the players who were at practice today. Back to the emails. Let's see. David Bowman, originally from Atlanta, originally Westwood. Thank you, David. Huge Pats fans, excited to see the record-setting 59-0 win against a bad Titans team. And when it comes to nitpicking, I think the only thing you can comment on is that delay of game penalty after a timeout. That's true. I had forgotten about that one. Okay, that's another good one. Patriots, yeah, I actually got a delay of game penalty after taking a timeout, and that is pretty ridiculous. Somebody's not paying attention to the play clock. I mean, the play clock guy who runs the play clock, he's sitting right next to me in the booth at Gillette, okay? And so when that happened, I looked at Brian, and I said, way to go, Brian, you screwed up. And he looks at me like with his hands out, and I'm like, whoa, what did I do? He said, I'm just doing what, you know, I'm supposed to do. He said, the Patriots are the ones that screwed up. And he's right, of course, he's right. But, you know, anyway, you know, we like to give him hell anyway, just because, you know, we like to think that, you know, he can actually control something. Just like when it got to be halftime, George McGuan, who runs the game clock, I'm saying, George, I'll give you $10. Maybe we can all take a collection here. We can do the second half in running time. You think the Titans would have preferred that, too? There's no doubt in my mind. No doubt in my mind. He says, when it comes to nitpicking, oh, yeah, there we go. He says, game penalty after the timeout, difference of 4 points in more cases. In a closer game, those are needed. It is hard to find anything wrong with last week. I don't even blame Belichick for not throwing the red flag on that safety. Yeah, you're right. That was my nitpick. You know, that safety should have been awarded to the team, and they should have had a 61-0 win. But I guess the umpire and the officials just didn't see it that way, and they didn't want to saddle the Titans/Oilers record book with a rather, shall we say, disastrous record that I'm sure they would not want a part of. All-time rout in modern NFL history since the... You know, in modern terms, NFL history is basically taken into consideration from 1970 on. Of course, the year of the AFL-NFL merger. So, you know, most of the records that really mean something are considered from 1970 on. Doesn't mean that anything pre-1970 doesn't count, but it was obviously it's a different universe that the current NFL has operated in since the AFL became a part of that. And, of course, that's part of the special ness, if you will, to this season is the fact that we're celebrating the 50th year of the AFL being in existence. And, of course, after 10 years, it merging with the NFL some, 40 years ago. And we saw the Patriots were the throwbacks at home again. One more game, I think, for the throwbacks this year. Is that right, Jace?
And it's at Miami.
Yeah, I was about to say it is a road game, and it will be at Miami. So we won't get a chance to see them in the home reds or the old white Pat Patriot helmet any longer at home this year. But you will get one more chance to see them on the road in, the whites, ostensibly. They've been using the 1963 model of the Patriots uniform, going back to the old AFL days, and that's what we've seen them in this year. But you can, of course, buy them in the Patriots Pro Shop or online at patriots.com/proshop. Got in that, you know, for the shop talk guys, I guess. Roy sends this email. He says, here are some great sound clips from Al Pacino's Any Given Sunday movie. I hope you'll be able to incorporate some of these into an upcoming show. All right, Jason, I'm going to save that one for you.
Yeah, I'll go through them.
Go through them. Thanks, Roy.
I have the DVD, though, so
do
I'll
you?
Go through that, too.
Okay, all right. John. Hi, John. I agree with the safety call. Ref screwed us again. Big surprise. How is this for a nitpick? Sam Stonehands Aiken drops two from Brian Hoyer right in his hands. You talk about 61-0. Aiken catches that pass in the end zone. It's 66-0. So do we reward him? Two-year extension. What the heck? That's true. Attaboy, John. See, I can depend on... I can depend on playbook insiders, and that's what we all are here. We're all insiders here, okay, because you take the time and we share the info with you. I can depend on those who listen to Patriots Playbook to come up with the with absolute bottom-line nitpickiness of the nitpicks on Tuesdays. I got to hand it to you. You've come through with a couple of really good ones today. Even in spite of a 59-0 record-setting win, we are picking nits here, baby. I love it. Absolutely love it. He says, by the way, just a fun note, Randy Moss's third touchdown when he was celebrating with a mascot was one of the highlights for me. In all seriousness, it was amazing to see Brady back to form. Sure, it was a bad team, but he was dead accurate. Bring on the Bucks. Good stuff, John. Absolute good stuff. A couple of others I want to share with here before we wrap up the program. Jack says, well, I'm not too happy with Josh McDaniels dressing like Coach Bill. Who does he think he is? Sorry, John, I got nothing this week. Unless you count this, I am so sick of the haters again. These jokers said we were over when we lost to the Jets. They said we were done when we lost to Denver. And now they said we ran up the score. Well, you can't have it both ways. Either we're not good or we're good enough to crush an opponent. Now, I'd say that's a pretty fair assessment, Jack. Pretty fair assessment. Steve in West Midlands, UK. Come on, we removed most of our starters, so we can't be judged as being too hard on them or running up the score. If we had wanted to run up the score, we'd have left West, Tom, and Randy to play pitch and catch over the secondary all day. Bah, this is the NFL. Come on, let the guys play. Absolutely, Steve. Could not agree more. Could not agree more. So, anyway, that's good. And then John, another John, says, I had mentioned earlier that I actually felt bad for Jeff Fisher during the course of the game. And he says, feel bad for Jeff Fisher? Not for a minute. If I did feel bad for anyone, it may have been Kerry Collins or that running back who was the only one getting anything done. That would be Chris Johnson, by the way, who did have a very good game. And I think somebody did mention as one of the nitpicks allowing, you know, the Titans to run for 100 and what was it? 185, 183 yards on the ground, but minus seven passing. I've never seen that team stat in my life. Negative seven passing. But yes, they did allow 183 on the ground to the Titans and 128 of that, I believe, to Chris Johnson. So you want a nitpick? Yeah, sure. Why not? There's a good nitpick. But Fisher, not a chance. Why? Because in my memory, I have a clear vision of Rodney Harrison's first game back after his ACL injury, and someone from the Titans deliberately spearing his knee, knocking him back out again. That person walking off the field got a wink and a thumbs up from Fisher. I still have the picture from the Globe that had three refs holding back Teddy Bruschi from killing Fisher. Yeah, I had forgotten that. Now, I'm not so sure that Fisher was giving him the thumbs up for, you know, the hit on him. Maybe it was just an aggressive play. Who knows? I doubt very seriously. Jeff Fisher didn't seem to me to be the kind of guy that would advocate going after somebody and ruining somebody's career. I tend to give him the benefit of the doubt over a 16-year career. Yet if it doesn't straighten out pretty quickly for him, obviously he's got to go because, you know, it's the whole case of, well, you can't fire 45 guys. You can fire the coach. Mensa from the Bronx. I'm just throwing this out there. Don't take it too serious. What do you think about the Patriots giving a late draft pick for a wide receiver like Terrell Owens? I think Bill would be one of the coaches who could handle him. After all, he was able to handle Corey Dillon, who was almost like a choir boy here in New England. You know, New England is a no-nonsense state. Their fans and their coach are very knowledgeable, wouldn't hesitate to dump him and show him the way out of New England. Remember Lawyer Malloy, Ty Law, Monty Beisel, and the list goes on. Well, we kind of talked about this, Mensa, and frankly, I don't think, because they own the contract and because he's a vested veteran, the Patriots would have to compensate. I don't know that the Bills would feel like they'd get compensation for him, number one. Number two, again, you have to bring a guy into a situation where he has to have some knowledge of your playbook. And we all know the struggles that a veteran guy like Joey Galloway, and I'm not necessarily comparing Owens to Galloway, but the situation, we don't know, could be similar. Galloway had trouble picking up the book and getting on the same page with Tom Brady, who admittedly was struggling somewhat, which probably led to Galloway's problems. How do we know Owens isn't going to struggle as well to pick up the playbook and then start griping publicly like he has done at every other stop in the past? That's something the Patriots don't need. I don't see that happening. Even though Buffalo may very well like to get rid of his contract, I don't see it happening. That one would surprise me quite a bit. If it were to happen, it would really surprise me. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the program. I think I just got one more email. Hang on 2 seconds. Let me make sure that I didn't get it into my box, that it might have come into another box. Nope, it came into another box here. Okay, very good. Thank you for all the emails today. Some great stuff that has gone on out there. And make sure you keep it coming all week, especially fans from the UK. Want to hear from me, want to know what the build-up is like in London, in Great Britain, in the UK overall, anywhere else in Europe. What's the media saying? What are the fans saying? We want to know what your viewpoint is as the Patriots get set to travel over there to you to take on the Bucks at Wembley Stadium on Wednesday. Tomorrow's playbook, 2 o'clock Eastern Time. Stephen Holder from the St. Petersburg Times covering the Bucks. That must be some kind of a job this year, huh? How about this, playing five teams in a row undefeated and then the last two winless? But that's what the Patriots' schedule has been like. Also, the one and only professor from ESPN.com and ESPN, John Clayton, their senior NFL writer. He's going to join us on the program tomorrow. And then Nick Sapanik, I think that's how he pronounces it, but we may be corrected otherwise, from the London Times will join us in the playbook, 2 p.m. Eastern Time Wednesday. Same Pat's time, same Pat's channel.